say, a home for radical performance?
Yeah, thank you. Radical, in the definition that I am using, is foundational and of the essence. And we are a place where people from diverse communities can get together and rub shoulders and create things together that are new.
Okay, so I've been told, and I often cite this myself in the definition of radical, I identify as a radical educator. So I was told that radical has to do with the root cause. So you kind of covered that when you said foundational. And how long has Tiny Theater PDX been around?
Just about a little over a year. This is our second iteration of the iteration series, but we've also had classes and workshops and one other fundraiser for Cheryl Burroughs, a local artist now.
Okay. And Mizu, tell us more about yourself and what you do at Headwaters Theater.
Yeah, so the Headwaters Theater is a project of Water in the Desert, and Water in the Desert is a 501c3 that I co-founded in 2010, although we were doing projects before then. We mostly act as an affordable rental space for people to launch their own projects with, you know, professional equipment, lighting, projection sound. So the theater has like an uncurated community vibe. Anyone who can come in and wants to produce a show can do that. We try and like also we produce our own projects as well, often with international artists. And then we have a urban farm in St. John's where we host artists that we bring in too.
Okay, so the Headwaters Theater and the Urban Farm are two separate locations?
Yeah.
Okay, and Tiny Theater, I visited, is out. It appears to be in a home in Southeast Portland.
Yeah, its appearances are correct.
So how did you get started in doing theater, Annette?
Oh, I was a professional modern dancer in New York City and Los Angeles for years. I started dancing in a Unitarian church when I was a kid. But the theater, this is actually something I've wanted to do since I was in my 20s. I used to write in my journal about getting people together from like art and science and philosophical disciplines and just really diverse people and creating together. And I started this a little over a year ago.
Okay. So this is a new project for Portland. And you mentioned something when we were talking before we were on the air about a tradition of shamanic consciousness or something. What can you tell me more about that and tell the listeners what exactly you were talking about?
Yeah, thanks for asking. I've been studying for about 6 to 8 years, something like that, a shamanic practice called the Sweet Medicine Sundance Path. Its basic premise, one of the basic premises, is that all things are created out of the sacred feminine, sparked and seeded by the sacred masculine, and it's a dance together, not a war. And that includes the entire spectrum. It's both within an individual and interpersonal. And also that no harm shall come to the children.
No harm shall come to the children. And you talked about balancing different energies. Where does this shamanic practice originate from? Is there geographic or ethnic location that it calls home?
It's what's called a twisted hairs path, which means it's multiple tribes all along the coast of the west coast of the Americas, from South America all the way up to Alaska, that shamans and healers and teachers used to travel up and down and would commune with each other, trying to find out what works for humans as opposed to a clan or a tribe.
So this is transcending some of the more identity and location-based stuff.
Yeah.
And this appears to be something that can be applicable for any person.
For any person. And it also connects us up with natural forces, natural laws, the animals, the plants, the cosmos, the sun, moon, earth. It's about the interconnectivity of everything. And how do we live a harmonious life?
So, Mizu, we're talking about some heavy ideas, and the name of the work of two of the things, the, both the project and some of the work and the focus is around water. So how does the work that you do intersect with some of what Annette is talking about?
Yeah, so my background is I've largely been influenced by Japanese Buto artist, and Buto was already an East-West dialogue. The artists who created it were inspired by German Expressionist artists, and then happened to be in that time period where they faced an atomic bombing and the consequences, and made art from that experience that has since like impacted artists all over the globe. So when I went to Japan to meet one of the founders, I was given this name in a dream, Mizu Deserto. Mizu in Japanese means water. Deserto is like from my lineage, Southern Italian. Also any kind of romance, Latin language, desert. And so then the organization became Water in the Desert. And I just found it immediately when it came to me as a name, as a profound metaphor for what we need in the world more and more.
Okay, so to me, when I listen to both of you talking, I can look at both of you and I can make some assumptions about your nationality or your ethnic identity. And, and I'm listening to some of the spiritual traditions as well as cultural traditions, right?
Yeah.
And immediately the question that arises is this question around appropriation of other people's culture, which is something that we have to confront and be accountable for. So either Annette or Mizu, do you want to speak to that?
I'd love to speak to that. What the teaching that I have been practicing and studying talks about is that you do have people from different humans, not just two-leggeds, humans, from different parts of the globe. And then you have the Métis people that are mixed bloods. And what I see happening in the world is that the earth energy, the universe, is making us mix. And it's for a reason. It's not bad. It's like, as humans, different groups of humans have developed different things. And now we need to share with each other and build together.
Okay, I can dig that. Do you want to say a little bit more
about
that?
Yeah, I think that's why I wanted to preface the Buto lineage with the fact that it had been part of a history of an East-West dialogue already. And because it's a tricky one, I think it's often people will say, oh, Japanese Buto, that comes from Japan, but it came from, a German artist who was influenced by Japanese woodblock prints, and then Japanese dancers who were influenced by this German dancer's expression, and now there's people in Brazil, in Argentina, all over the world using this dance, which proposes a way to transform ourselves and to become more natural with who we are as animals, as humans. So I think the appropriation is like, well, when was it appropriated first? Was it the German artist who borrowed the woodblock prints, or was it the Japanese artist who borrowed the expression from this German choreographer? So it becomes really blurry that it's been a dialogue that continues to develop and evolve.
Can I add something there?
Yes, yes.
And also as human beings, it's like we all have skin and bones and muscles and blood through us, and DNA, and we have certain cultural differences. We have differences in the way we look like, but we all have the same kind of body and spirit.
And we're all 70 to 80% water.
Okay. All right. So we're looking at commonalities and things that we all have in common on an objective level, right? Whether we choose to or not, these are things that we share.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then one could extend conscious and intentional solidarity coming from that place, right?
Mm-hmm.
So tell us, we're all going to be together this weekend, Friday and Saturday.
Yeah.
Can each of you spend a little time talking about the installation, the name of the installation, the theme, and the location?
Yeah, it's the second of a 5-year series called The Iterations. It's iteration number 2, Earth. Last year we did water. Earth as in gravity, magnetism, death, change, and transformation, the soils like our skin, the bones, our bones and the earth rocks.
The organic stuff.
Yeah. And it's Friday and Saturday. It's there's a website. It's called the tinytheaterpdx.org, where you can get information. There's an hour of installations in the garden area that anyone can come to. Then the stage show is about an hour and a half. There's limited seating, so you have to have a ticket for that. Friday is already sold out, and I think there's one or two tickets left for Saturday. It's also a fundraiser for the Indigenous Environmental Network, which is an Earth Protector organization. And there are some incredible raffle gifts that have been amassed.
So there's only one seat left on Saturday. And if somebody wanted to find out about where to get that ticket, where would they go?
They'd go to thetinytheaterpdx.org, and they can also find the address there and can come to the installations before the show. They're going to be quite amazing. Performance artist, visual artist, Jaleesa Johnson is doing an installation. There's North Indian sarod music played by Christopher Reese. The Curiosity Paradox Project of Grant Miller and Jonathan Paradox Lee is doing an event there. And we are going to have a fossil, a 3D print of the oldest vertebrate fossil found in Oregon that Gregory Carr and his daughter found it. And they're going to bring a 3D copy print of it.
Cool.
That sounds cool. Mizu, what are you going to be doing over there?
Yeah, an improv for sure, but I'm doing something on Saturday. And right now, Water in the Desert is hosting two artists. We've had we're hosting in this moment three artists. One is Kudo Takatero, who is performing Friday night, and he just arrived from Tokyo this morning. So I hooked him up with Annette. And then we're also hosting an artist from Puerto Rico, Samantha Perez Alicia. She's been with me for 2 months, and I don't want her to leave ever. But she's a bomba dancer and has a fascination with Buto now, too. And then another artist who's originally, her parents are from Puerto Rico, which is kind of the liaison. And we're all three going to work on something for Saturday night.
Wow, sounds like some amazing stuff that you're not going to find really anywhere else, at least not in Portland, this weekend. So if people want to find out more about Headwaters Theater online, where do they go?
Yeah, we're all under WITD.org, which is waterinthedesert.org.
Okay. And things for the public that might want to come to Tiny Theater PDX this weekend, what time do things start on Friday and Saturday?
The outdoor installations start at 7 and go until 8. And then there is a party after the show, 9:30 to midnight.
9:30 to midnight. I heard we might get some rain on Sunday. So, you know, maybe Saturday night is the night to cut loose, and then you can cleanse yourself Sunday in the wetness. But, hey, thanks for coming down, Mizu and Annette. And I look forward to seeing what you both are up to in the future and participating this weekend. I'll be there doing Earthbound. Thank you for listening to News from the Boo. Peace.
Thanks so much.
I was never cool in school. I'm sure you don't remember me.
And now it's been 10 years. I'm still wondering who to be.
And I'd love to mix in circles, cliques, and social coteries.
That's me.
Hand me my nose ring.
Can we be happy?
This is The Underground, presented by the KBOO Youth Collective. We will get started right after these promotions.
Tune in on Thursday, August 31st at 8 p.m. to celebrate the queer programmers and the queer community of KBOO as part of our 50th anniversary. Emma Lugo of Transpositive will host this special on-air program.